Off the ball.
Jamie caught Frank with quite a bad challenge and the physio's patching him up, and Les Seeley, his turn turned to Frank. He went, Frank, get back on and do him good and proper. He said he took a liberty there. He said, make sure you leave it on him good and proper. And I'm stood there, I'm thinking, oh, hang on. He's talking about him doing my... This ain't right, you know?
Off the ball.
Weeknights from 7 and weekends from 1.
This is OTB Sports Radio. Live 24-7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Paul Tarash, Maura Thrasenshaw with you until 7 o'clock, and we now enter the LGFA Hour, and it's brought to you in association with Lidl, proudly supporting ladies Gaelic football with over €4 million invested since 2016. And of course, if you want to know more, follow along. They have their hashtag, which is Serious Support. Just to give you a quick update, obviously today is FA Cup Magic Day. We have some full times to give you. I suppose the most notable one there is Crawley Town 3, Leeds United 0. And we have also Barnsley 1-2-0 against Tranmere Rovers. Bristol City 1-2-1 over Portsmouth. Chelsea 4-0 over Morecambe. Cheltenham, that's still going actually at 2-1 with Mansfield Town. And Manchester City full-time 3 against, and they beat Birmingham City, who didn't get any score at all. Obviously, we've got two more kickoffs. One at 5 o'clock, one at 6:45. And earlier in the day, if you're with us for the paper review, you might have heard Cliona Foley letting us know about, I suppose, the havoc that COVID-19 has wreaked on ladies and women's soccer over in England as well. And the one game that went ahead today in the FA Women's Super League, that had a full-time score of Chelsea 5, Reading 0. So perhaps Reading might have perhaps wished that game was also put off for at least another week. Also, if you were tuned in earlier to Ellen Keane and Kieran McGeehan, they were talking about what it's like to be a female athlete and the pressures you can feel. If there are anyone interested out there or wants to know more information or just wants support or to talk to somebody, please go to the website Bodywise. They're the Eating Disorders Association of Ireland. It is something that affects women, but more and more we're seeing it affecting men as well, especially if you're involved in sports. So you can imagine physicality, what you look like, can be quite a big deal and can sometimes weigh very heavily on your head. That's just one example. Or speak to your coach and try and get yourself the right support. And actually, speaking about that, we actually got a message in from Edel in Limerick saying that that programme was so positive. Ladies, thank you for talking about these topics that every girl or woman has to deal with in real life and not just in sport. And I would echo that, and I would say it's not just women as well. It's everyone. Society we live in can be very cruel to each other, be you male, female or in between. Okay. Our ladies, Lidl Ladies Football Panel, live with me here now. Well, not with me here physically due to distancing. We have Dublin's Cara Rowe, we have Aisling Maloney from Tipperary, and we have Eimear Gallagher from Donegal. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you.
You thank you very much. Loud and clear. That's great. It feels like only 2 days ago I had Carla and Aisling in this exact studio last year on the exact same programme. And I remember, Aisling, I might go to you first, because I remember saying, who knows what this year will throw? And we were saying, could Tipperary hold it with the big dogs up in the top league? And OK, you didn't go all the way, but you went much further than people like me and all pundits predicted.
Yeah, I suppose. I think we kind of surprised ourselves, to be honest. I think the year that it was, we had many weird victories all over Ireland, really. I suppose even with the men as well in Tipperary, winning on Bloody Sunday, you know, it's a bit eerie what happened this year. But for ourselves here in Tip, look, we probably lost by a point. It was really disappointing. But look, we'll take them positives and win to next year. And, you know, we can only learn from our mistakes.
When you say it was kind of a surprise to you, is that just you being modest now? I felt that you knew more that day. You were sitting here like you were saying, we're just lining up a big shock. You were doing the stereotypical GAA lying in the long grass.
I wish I was doing that. I wouldn't mind being in Carla's position now, sitting beside the Brendan Martin. But no, I feel like in Tip we've gone through a transition the last few years. And I think this year in particular, we kind of, you know, we had a group of girls that our management team could work on over the last number of years. Even girls who have retired, there's new girls coming in. And this year in particular, I feel even kind of in the league as well, the last 2 years, we haven't been doing too bad considering we are missing Ash McCarthy and Ola Dwyer. So I think this year, having them coming home in the summer, we were facing into Cork, and I felt like we had a bit of an advantage considering the league that we had. But look, the way everything went this year, the championship ended up the way it was. And I think we were very, still very satisfied with the performance that we got, considering such a young team we had. Like, some of them girls are only 17, 18. It would have been their first time starting their debuts. Like, and I suppose if you look at the age group, Ash McCarthy's probably the second oldest on our team now, and she's only 23. So I think, you know, you can be critical of yourself as well, but you kind of have to sit back and, you know, take a look at it all as a whole and see how far we've came from. Do you know, we were in Division 3, 4 years ago, and we're struggling to get out of it now in Division 1. And, you know, hopefully we'll kick on now in the coming years and see where it takes us.
Carla, I'd say listening to that, no more than myself, you probably feel a little bit more elderly when you see about the youth of Tipperary. And you've been with Dublin now for a good few years, and I assume you're not tired yet of sitting next to the Brendan Martin.
No. Yeah, the youth and some of the teams coming along is quite scary, really. I think when we started off chasing Cork a couple of years ago, we were kind of the young team. And it's funny how 6 or 7 years go on, you don't realise that you're not 18 anymore. You're moving on up the years. So, yeah, it's definitely a few teams there, the likes of Galway, Donegal, even Armagh, who we came over this year. They have a lot of young players that can build over the next couple of years. So definitely some strong threats.
Yeah, we've been used to, you know, Dublin having great epic battles and finals, and up until very recently, always coming up short, and as usually was always Cork. But this year, the surprise was Armagh. Did they take you by as much surprise as they took us that day?
I wouldn't say we were surprised, because we knew we couldn't be complacent on that day. They have, as you know yourself, some outstanding players and some brilliant forwards, and Amy Mackin and Kelly Mallon, and they're definite threats. So something that we were surprised on the day that, I know myself, I looked up at the scoreboard at half time and it was 2-5 to 2-5, and usually we're not in that position. So it was a bit of a surprise, but we definitely knew they were going to be a strong team and they were going to play right till the end, which they did. So we were glad that day that we just got over the line.
It was a great game to watch. I do wonder sometimes when you guys are playing games like that, and just it so happened that a lot of the Dublin games that most people would have tuned into were quite low scoring really in recent years, you know, the semi-finals and finals and stuff. But that one was a cracker. When you were playing it, did it feel like you were playing in a cracker?
Yeah, it was fast paced. It was going from our end of the pitch to their end of the pitch, and nearly every play was ending, or every attack was ending in a score. So it was, on the day, it was a great game to be involved in, and especially to be, you know, in the middle of it all and being able to try, and you're trying to control the pace of the game, but also when it's such a good game like that, to keep the game flowing. And we love that type of expansive attacking football. So, and obviously Armagh played that very well as well. So it was a great game to be involved in.
And Eimear Gallagher up in Donegal. It's always felt for me watching football that Donegal is the team. You've the packet of box of matches ready to go. You have the match and somebody's striking it and you just haven't got that flame yet. But when you do, it'll catch hold. And would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, I think, you know, on paper, whenever you look at the individual players, you know, that we're producing in Donegal year after year, you know, they really would walk on to any team in the country. We've been very unlucky, you know, in the last few years that we've just fallen short at the final hurdle. And, you know, even with our round game against Dublin this year, you know, it was we were right in it until the very end of the game. I suppose it's, you know, that experience of competing at the top level that, you know, we've just been trying to acquire the last few years. And, you know, it is coming. We're hoping every year that it's going to be the year. But, you know, whenever you're playing top-notch teams like Dublin, you know, you really have to be on it from the start. And unfortunately, you know, like, we didn't have our best performance in the first half of the game, and it left us a lot of work to do in the second half. So I think that's something that we have to kind of look at going into each season, is, you know, how to play for the full 60 minutes and, you know, not to leave it to the second half of the game all the time.
And do you think it's down to experience completely, or is there something else maybe that, I don't want to use the word missing because that's not fair, because you're not that far off, it's just little things. What will be the difference, do you think?
Well, I suppose if you look back on that game and try and figure out what went wrong, you know, we can all talk about the freak goal, you know, that went in, and, you know, nobody really could have ever predicted something like that would have happened. But I suppose, you know, if you really look into it and you see maybe what went wrong in the first half, I guess, you know, it is maybe we build ourselves up too much to playing against these teams. You know, we have the players, undoubtedly. There's such a great mix of youth and experience on our team. Like, we definitely have girls that are at the latter end of the scale, you know, girls that are ready to retire. And we have some fantastic and fabulous footballers that are just starting off in their careers. And you know, that blend of experience and youth is a fantastic thing to bring on to any team. And I think it's probably the belief is that we really have to approach, you know, with the 2021 season, you know, knowing that we have the caliber of players. And, you know, no matter who you're talking to, they're always looking at Donegal and they'll always say, you know, Donegal is a great up and coming team. You know, you look at your forward line, you have such a fantastic group of girls. You know, how come you just haven't won anything yet? So I think it's just, you know, performing for a full 60 minutes on the pitch and, you know, not being afraid of any team and, you know, having that belief that we have the ability to do it, I think is really where we need to go from here.
And if you were to go looking for an advantage, is that doesn't matter how much you won or haven't won in recent years, the fact that COVID is still with us, it means that everyone's starting off from the same point this year, in that you don't know when it's going to start, if it's going to start, and you don't know when it's going to finish, if it's going to finish.
Yeah, completely. Do you know, last year was such a year of mixed emotions. I think every team can say they probably did about 3 or 4 pre-seasons. I don't think anyone has ever really done as much individual training and, you know, really sort of soul searching whenever you're up in the gym by yourself or you're out running the roads. It's not really what any of us signed up for as Gaelic footballers. You know, I know personally, I'm definitely, you know, I work better as a team. I like training as a team. I like being around my teammates. So I find that very challenging. I'm training by myself, but I think whenever we actually got back to the collective sessions, then, you know, when things were difficult, you were able to say, well, do you know what, I was out running the roads for 3 months there, you know, I've done a lot of the hard ground by myself. So it did give you that wee bit of confidence, knowing that you were well able for anything that came up against last year as well. And I think everyone, like I'm speaking for all the girls here, we're just really happy to get out and play football last year. I think kind of put things in perspective. And of course, everyone wants to win, but it was just very nice to actually be out and playing football whenever so many people in the rest of the country were still at home, you know.
And not only was Ashley Maloney busy playing football, she decided to pick up a stick as well and go hurling. What brought that about?
Yeah, it's been something that's been in my craw years since I've been younger. We've been very successful here in my home club in Care, and I suppose my dad is a massive hurling man. He kind of would nearly burn a football, to be honest, if you give it to him. But he actually sat me down one day, very kind of crazy family here, as you know, but he sat me down one day and he said, you know, would you ever give the camogie a go before I die?
So anyway, no pressure.
COVID came anyway, and I just thought it was a great opportunity. I suppose it's always something I want to do every year. I kind of sum up, you know, obviously it's a lot playing Jewel. We see, I just know myself, Mourna Dwyer doing it. It's a toll on the body, like. So I suppose I weighed up the pros and cons and the way the both seasons were going. It was 4 months, it was going to be done, but it wasn't as if it was prolonged, like. So it was going on for a few weeks, and then eventually I just put myself forward for it, and it probably was the best thing I have done in many years. It was very challenging, both physically and mentally. And I suppose the day I told Dad, his reply to me was, geez, I must be an awful yellow colour these days if you're making that decision. Yeah, no, I suppose it's something different. And Joe, when you're in football environment as well, you're kind of, that's the whole thing, you're looking at. And I suppose in camogie, it's complete different tactics. Everything is so different. And being thrown into something that you're uncomfortable as a person, I suppose, you know, in football, you know everyone, you're going training, everyone's from the south, whereas in camogie, everyone's from the north. So I was going to training, find myself ask people's names, like little things that I probably would never have done before. Like, so it was very challenging. Every time I went to camogie, I was literally in the car asking myself, what am I doing to myself? But then I'd train, I'd come home, and I'd be literally on cloud 10 coming home in the car. But yeah, it was just something different, I suppose, something I always wanted to do. And look, this year again, all going well, hopefully I'll have the opportunity to do it again.
Yeah, it's a difficult one to try and do, isn't it? To try, because we've seen over the last few years how women trying to play football and camogie, you do reach crossroads sometimes where you're forced to choose.
Very much so. I suppose we've seen that, you know, in the last number of years in particular, and I suppose Cork ladies and camogie players highlighted that this year. But look, I suppose signing up first, you kind of have to just prepare yourself and be organised for that, you know, them clashes come before, like. But I suppose you're trying to avoid them at all cases possible. But yeah, it is an issue. I suppose I found myself as well with training, the training load and stuff. I suppose I probably hadn't trained as much since I was about 12. And you felt like you're on five or six different teams because, you know, obviously you're playing at two high levels in both codes. So I think it was just mind over matter in the end, you know, doing the right things, nutrition, recovery, getting everything right. And I suppose once your head and everything is in the right place, I think you're able to do anything. And I suppose that was the most important thing for me, you know, having my head in the right mind frame, knowing that I was going football training and camogie training, you know, doing everything for them. So I think mind frame is a big part of it. You know, if I don't think until both organisations come together, that's it might change. But I suppose that's probably a different topic for another day. But
well, that's no, a topic that will go on for hours and hours, which I'm sure we'll touch upon at some point in this hour. But I think people would be fascinated to know as well, if we're used to playing football, let's break it down very simply, big ball, small ball, stick, no stick. So when you're trying to use a hurl, and obviously we all know the best hurlers are the ones who have it in the wrist and stuff. Did you even find it difficult just to slip back into that habit to bring it up to the level where it needed to be for inter-county?
Oh yeah, I think camogie in particular is a very skillful game. The last time I played a camogie match, it was, I'm going to give a guess at a date now, it was I think 2016, we won a club intermediate All-Ireland. I'll never forget that day, but then during the summer, my club approached me again to ask me would I play. With COVID and everything, I said I would. I remember going into the first game and I literally couldn't hit the ball. And it's kind of like, you know, you never go through that phase of not being able to hit it. And I got a bit of a fright myself because I suppose it kind of always kind of came a bit naturally to me, but then it was something that I had to go in and work on. I suppose I was going into a setup that I've never trained like that before in a county setup. I actually worked on different skills and, you know, even management has come up to me and said I need to improve in different areas. And that was a challenge for me, but yeah, no, it's not as easy as going out and picking up the hurley and hitting it. Some people are really gifted, as we can see. You know, some of the Denise Gall and a few of the camogie players caught the van, but you know, it's for me now, it's not as easy as that. I need to put a bit of time and effort into it.
Before we finish talking about your hurling, I suppose we should say you did come on, you started in a blaze of glory, but your poor thing, your game probably didn't finish ideally. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that? We can laugh now, it's gone in the past.
Yeah, it was a last moment at the time now. I was fairly annoyed at myself, but yeah, look, I suppose, I don't know what it is. Camogie, I think, brings out the anger in me. As Carolyn knows, you can say anything to me and in football, it just goes in one ear and out the other. But camogie, just a little bit of a hustle bustle, and I suppose ended up getting a red card. And I thought it would only be for one match, but it ended up being for two. So I ended up missing most of the Camogie Championship, and then I ended up getting injured in the Monaghan game. So that kind of ruled me out for the rest. But look, I actually felt like Richie Hogan when it happened. I remember sitting on the sideline and I was actually feeling like Richie Hogan the time he got red card in the All-Ireland final against Tip last year. I was kind of making a funny joke out of it, but look, these things happen. So that's the main reason why I'm going back next year, because I probably didn't give it a proper go, but we'll see. Hopefully the opportunity is there for me and that I can go back, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, that's it, Carla, isn't it? Because you learn, you live and you learn, and Dublin ladies in particular, you guys have had to learn some harsh lessons. And I know whenever anyone thinks of you, they always think of that point that wasn't but was and that kind of thing. It's very difficult to learn how to park that, not only park it, learn from it and build from it. Not everyone can do that, but you guys managed it.
Yeah, very, very difficult situation to find yourself in. And I suppose every year that happened to us, we went soul searching to try and find what was the problem. But I think change of management for us was a big thing. It brought a new lease of life into the team. We had a few young new girls come in, and we also got back some older girls, and that was massive for us. So I suppose little things like that, small changes to a team, bringing a bit of life and a bit of laugh back into a team, and not focusing on the end goal. I think we lost sight on every single game that we were playing and taking it step by step, because we were so talked about that, oh, can you win or not? So that was definitely something that was a challenge for us.
And how did you manage it?
Lost.
But have lost you dropped something? AirPod. Have you just lost your ear? Emer, we'll segue gently to you while we're Carla's putting your ears back in. Different kind of place for Donegal in that, like, you have pressure to perform rather than pressure to win a title. And that's very different, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And I think, you know, any management team, all they ever really ask of their players is to go out and perform. You know, whatever happens after that is just, you know, a lot of the time comes down to luck, and, you know, sometimes things will go your way and sometimes they won't. But yeah, it's just, I suppose the performance is always key. And, you know, if you look back on our performances over the last 2 years in the big games, you know, 2 years ago, we'd kind of flopped in the group stages. And, you know, there was so much disappointment with that because we know that we have so much potential and so much ability. So coming into 2020, that was something that we really wanted to avoid. And I think even looking at those group stages, like our game against Waterford, our game against Dublin, like the performance was there, you know, maybe not for the full 60 minutes in both games. Probably more so in the Waterford game, we did perform very well. But I think in the Dublin game, you can't really fault the effort or the performance, but it's just, you know, came down to a lot of maybe decisions didn't go our way. You know, again, as I said, the goal, but, you know, I suppose we do have to be critical on ourselves and, you know, look to see like how do we get up as far as those teams like Dublin and Cork and Galway who are constantly performing on the big days. And yeah, we do have to be critical of ourselves and, you know, look as to how we can improve, because if we don't do those things, we're never going to be in Dublin's position where we have the Brendan Martin in our hands. So I think at this stage, we're all ready. Everyone is so ready to maybe, you know, bring home some silverware. And, you know, myself and other players, you know, we are coming into our last few years of you know, representing our county and wearing the county jersey. So I think it's just, you know, being critical enough to self-improve and kind of bringing that into the team's setup then as well to see how we can go forward from there. So, like, I'm excited about 2021. I know it's people don't really know what's going on at the minute with COVID, but, like, we do know there will be football at some stage. And you know, I'm already really looking forward to getting back out on the pitch.
Carla, you threw your earphones away there rather than answer my question when I asked you what did Dublin do, or what did you do to do that introspective look, to look at yourselves and think, this is what's missing, or this is what we need to add on, or this is what we were doing not in the right way. So what was the difference? What did you do? We're all ears now. We all want to know this.
The secret too. I wish I had the secret that can tell you how to get over the line in every game. I think over those 3 years, what we learned was how to control the pace of a game and how to control ourselves in a game. You know, we, in those 3 games against Cork, we lost the run of ourselves, really, if we look back on it. There was times where we were ahead and we didn't slow it down and control it and make sure we worked in other scores. We'd be shooting silly shots, taking the wrong choices. And that was probably the main factor that came to us with our new management, just saying like it had nothing got to do with the other team or it had nothing got to do with anything else. It was you girls on the pitch. You have to learn to be experienced enough to stand back from the situation and take a breath nearly and slow down. And instead of being caught in that one moment of here's the ball, move the ball, pass the ball, shoot, to slow down, have a look and see is there a better option or a better decision that needs to be made in order to control the whole thing across the board as a team.
And that's not easy to do either, because it's hard enough for you to do it yourself, but then somebody else in your team makes a mistake for whatever reason, and it takes a lot of control to not give out to them or to not give out to yourself or not berate yourselves as a group. Like, that doesn't happen overnight.
No, it doesn't. And like, we're still learning it. You know, I think this year we were strong at controlling the game at different times. And that can come in the first 10 minutes when you've gone ahead to a brilliant start and you need to control it, or it can happen in the last 10 minutes. So it's not just about the last 5 minutes, slow the game down and keep the ball and hand pass it. It's throughout the game, having that like overall outlook of control and being able to see what's going on. So it can be difficult, especially when you're a team of 15 players and everyone needs to be on the same page. So we would have calls and we would have conversations about what we're going to do and how we'll come across or how we'll communicate that on the pitch. So there's many years of experience gone into it, and the 3 losses, if there was one good thing, I suppose we could say we got out of 3 losses in a row, was that we did learn that experience from those games.
Well, no more than ladies football here and off the ball as well. We believe the first half is as important as the second half. So do stay with us. We do take a very short break, but we'll be back right after this. Fáil te leat to the LGFA Hour, which is brought to you in association with Lidl, proudly supporting ladies Gaelic football with over €4 million invested since 2016. And their hashtag is serious support. Eimear, nothing is private here in this town. And your club teammate, Roisin Friel, was just in touch and saying, end of career, I thought you were only getting married. He's afraid you're going to leave.
Yeah, well, I suppose, I did get big news just for Christmas. So it was a lovely surprise for coming into a very quiet time. So it made Christmas a wee bit more exciting for sure. But yeah, I suppose we're always laughing. Like, this is going to be my 11th year now playing for Donegal, and I'm only 26, but I feel at this stage I'm really ready to hang up the boots. I've been around that long, so she's always given me a good touch every so often about hanging up the boots. But you never know. I keep telling her that she's well able to give Donegal another few years yet herself. So
it must be hard though for all of you to keep everything juggling. Like, I know, Emer, you're a teacher and obviously everything went online, and you're in a part of the country that's not particularly accessible either. You know, all those things can create challenges, because I'm something even as simple as assuming every student you teach has access to broadband probably created a lot of stress before you even thought about football.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, that's one thing I'd always say about Donegal is we're definitely geographically challenged, and it's always been, you know, an obstacle that probably faces our county more than any other county in the country. You know, we do have, you know, the majority of our players, you know, are not based in Donegal, whether they're at college, whether they're working. You know, most of the time our players are heading off to the cities, you know, to do these things. So, you know, our midweek sessions and things like that are always, you know, very small numbers, and it can kind of replicate club training a lot because the numbers are quite small. And, you know, similar to that with school, I think COVID in one way was an advantage, in the sense that we had so many of our people at home for once, and that could have even just been for, you know, being in contact with each other. It was nice to have everyone actually in Donegal for a few months. But, you know, in terms of the school situation, you know, I did find it quite stressful for sure. I love the, you know, the one-to-one and, you know, the in-class contact with my students. And, you know, you kind of lose that obviously whenever you're teaching online. And, you know, for some students, you know, you might be the only maybe adult that, you know, they can converse with every day. You know, some students, you know, just don't have that sort of safe family home setup at home. And, you know, that was very stressful for them. And at school myself, like I teach in an all-girls school with 1,000 girls. And I also, with Nicole McLaughlin, my Donegal teammate, we coach the girls' football team is there. So we'd have a very good relationship with many of our own students. And I think some of our students struggled big time with COVID, with not having, you know, the access to the football pitches and getting out to get their maybe hour of fresh air every week. And, you know, I felt for them big time with that. And, you know, as well as the teachers struggling with the online learning, our students definitely struggled as well. So it was lovely to get back to school for the few months that we did there.
And that actually ties in very well with, I know, the work you do with Lidl as well, and Jigsaw, and the One Good Club and the One Good Teammate, and being that role model as such, or somebody that somebody can reach out to, because you never know when somebody might want to put their hand up and they might look for it in the unlikeliest of places.
Of course, yeah. And I always, you know, believe myself as a teacher, like, you know, no matter what day you go into the classroom, you might be having a bad day, but you can be sure that one of your students is having a worse day. So it's very, very important, you know, the approach that you take to learning every day, and that, you know, you're not just there to provide a curriculum. You know, you're not just prepping them for exams. Like, you really are a mentor for them. And, you know, you have to be a person of support as well, because you just never know what's going on in young people's lives today. And I keep saying to my own students, you know, I wouldn't like to be a teenager today. I think they have much more challenges than we had whenever we were growing up. And, like, you know, that wasn't
that long ago. I was going to say, you sound like you're 95.
Of course, yeah. But really, you know, we grew up with technology, but not to the same capacity as, you know, people are online these days. And there's a huge social pressure with that as well. You know, you look over lockdown as well. You know, there was some hugely positive things provided online. Like, even the work that, you know, we were involved with Lidl and the LGFA and Jigsaw. Like, I think that was a really good support system for students and, you know, just young people in general. And it's great to see some positivity like that provided online, because as we know, you know, there's so much negativity that we see every day as well. So I think, yeah, as you said, like, as a teacher, you know, there's so much more to your role than just, you know, teaching the curriculum. And, you know, I really believe in that. And I hope that my own students would look to me as a mentor or someone that they could come to if they were struggling. And, you know, as Gaelic footballers and as county players, you know, our role nowadays expands to so much more than just representing the jersey on the pitch. Like, we do have to, you know, look at the younger generations and you know, help them in their progression as well.
It's when you speak about the positives of COVID, obviously there's been so many negatives, but we've had some good things as well. And I think, Aisling, one of the best developments was the Friday Night Lights, the TG Cahir showing the women's games on Friday nights. Huge audience. a little bit of extra passion and fire as well under the lights, I felt, watching it anyway. It felt like there was a lot at stake at every game you watched. And sure, we may as well call you Controversy Corner, because sure, you gave us one of the talking points as well of a Friday night when you were playing against Monaghan, where you let's put it this way, a lot of people felt you were very hard done by a referee.
I love being name tagged Controversy Corner. It's my new nickname now. Yeah, well, it just started off with the Friday Night Lights. I think it was probably an unbelievable move by ladies football. There was probably no other sport on that night. People coming home from work, or not even home from work, coming from the room to the sitting room to watch something on TV. And every night, as Carlow's game as well, Dublin and Armagh, like, the games were excellent on Friday nights, and I suppose it attracted more people to clue in and watch them. But in terms of Monaghan game, yeah, look, I don't know, these things happen. I suppose we're all human as well. It can be a bit annoying, I suppose, when you put so much effort into something, and then probably something simple like that can happen. But look, at the end of the day, we're all human, we all can make mistakes, and maybe in order to protect refs and stuff like that, maybe it's probably time that something like Robbie comes in, they can talk to a third referee, is what they call it, or a fourth referee, I don't know what the name for it is. But yeah, I suppose at the end of the day, we probably give Monaghan too much of a lead in the first half. We can't just blame that as why we lost. Like, a lot of things happening in that 60 minutes that was the cause of us losing that game, not just that moment. But
oh yeah, well, absolutely. No game is won and lost over one incident unless it's hugely dramatic at a massive turning point. But I think you make a fair point there in that, like, everybody is human, and you know, when somebody's there, they only have one view of an incident and they haven't got the benefit of somebody having another look on their behalf. Absolutely. But I do think, though, from watching you play football, I'd kind of compare it to nearly the Aidan O'Shea syndrome, because you're a lot of the time so much taller than the people you're playing against. You nearly have to work harder to win a free.
Well, I think, to be honest, in general, I think forwards in both women and men have to work harder now to win a free. I think it's gone very, very cynical. It's hard to creep into ladies football an awful lot. I suppose when you look at David Clifford, when he played against Cork that time, like, you want to be watching David Clifford, be it a back or a forward. You want to be watching him and seeing what they can provide or what they can put on, you know, what David Clifford can do. Like, and I suppose the way he was marked that day and cynically fouled out of it and stuff, like, it does kind of ruin the game a bit. But look, I suppose I'm not complaining that I'm tall either. I suppose sometimes I am the cause of issues as well. I'm no angel myself on the pitch. But it's probably, like, it is a talking point, I suppose. You know, if it is going to start, like, ladies football is moving on and is moving very rapidly fast at that, and I think probably it is time to, how can we improve the game? Do you know, maybe is it bringing that extra person on the sideline? Because at the end of the day, the refs, everyone there is putting in an awful lot of time. I suppose the players in particular are putting in a crazy amount of time to it. And I suppose when it comes down to decisions like that, if it happens to be an All-Ireland final or All-Ireland semi-final, I'm not talking down the game, but as Emer said earlier, like, we were privileged playing COVID, so that's why I'm kind of having this attitude towards it. But you know, if it was last year, normal championship, well, then you probably would have crazy acting on this today. But yeah, I don't know. I suppose just taking a look back and seeing how they can improve on that, that just doesn't happen again, really.
Is that a sign too, Aisling, that, you know, you'd have to be completely blind and only seeing the good in everyone, man and woman, if you said there's absolutely no cynicism in ladies football, and it's creeping in bit by bit, but is that maybe in a strange way a sign that things are evolving and progressing, that the standard of coaching is higher, and instead of going out now and hoofing a ball up and down a field, there's actually strategies and structures, and as Carla said earlier, a bit more game management, and if that means a bit of cynicism, so be it, if you get the result you want.
Oh, 100%, and I totally agree with any team. I think here in Tipperary, we're like angels. I suppose girls who are inexperienced.
Ah, now, come on.
comes with the experience in playing, I suppose. And you notice that when you're playing against the bigger teams. Donegal in particular, they're great first. The second round, they're off.
There's Ashley just throwing all the shade now, and she's safely ensconced by Zoom away from everyone. Go on.
It definitely is. Like, it is 100% positive. 100%. You can't take that from it. And managements are coming more included into all that, and if you can get over the line at the end day and you get the cup in your hand, that's all that matters. But just for the viewing point of the game, I think, you know, going forward, is it going to, like, when the whole defensive team come into men's football, like, if that starts creeping into ladies football, I think it's going to destroy it. And I suppose just kind of trying to cut out all that and make it a good viewing point as well, because at the end of the day, you want people watching the games. and you want people getting involved. But it's actually funny when just thinking there, when that free was given again, when that free, the ref blew the whistle, I thought he was giving a free to the Monaghan girl. Or no, free against the Monaghan girl. Or was it me? No, free against Monaghan. And I was like shocked. I was like, Jesus, I was going nearly fucking say to him, sorry, you actually made the wrong decision there. But yeah, no, it is. I don't know. It's a talking point, like, but yeah, it's positive. But at the end of the day, is it going to get worse? It's going to destroy the game. Who knows?
Carlo, what would you say to that? Do you think, is there anything that can be done to stop cynical play, or is it just that coaches and players in general, you tend to be always a step ahead of the rules anyway, so even if a rule was brought in, something else would happen?
Dublin are good at that, Anna, before she starts.
Oh, yeah. All right. So you've insulted Donegal and you've insulted Dublin.
Don't wait till she starts on Galway. Sorry, go on, Carla.
I think maybe the use of our umpires on our sideline, like, I think they have those people in place, and just using them that bit more might be benefit to the referee. I know sometimes a lot can go on off the ball, you know, even in the final, pulling jerseys and trying to stop runs and stuff like that, and not saying it was Cork or Dublin. It comes from both sides. And using that and probably communicating that a bit more and letting players know your umpire is communicating with the referee, and if you do it again, we're going to get call you up on this. So if players knew that they were being used and being listened to a bit more, maybe it would stop some of that off the ball or cynical play, I suppose.
And I suppose you'd be a very silly player who decided, I'm going to go out here and play this clean, when if you don't do it, somebody else will be wearing that Dublin jersey out in front of you, or you're going to be creamed out of it by an opposition player.
Yeah, I think the game has evolved. Like, it is a very physical, fast-paced game where it's not just about going out, as you said, and playing football or hoofing the ball up the pitch. There's tactics in place. Strength and conditioning is a massive part of the sport now in ladies football. So there is going to be that physical element. And, like, I enjoy that. I like that type of football where you can take the hits and you'll give the hits as well. And, you know, sometimes it gives some of the best games out there. Our game against Armagh was a very physical game, but I don't think there's one person watching that game that would have said that that was a bad game of football to watch. Like, it was a fantastic, fantastic display of the sport. So for me personally, I like it. I think they can probably use those umpires and the sidelines a bit more to just help the referees, and that could improve it that little bit.
That physicality, Emer, it kind of reminds me of, we've seen the Camogie Association kind of evolve or rethink or review their rules, which meant that the women could show how well they could hurl, and that really came evident in the last 2 years or so. But do you see yourself, since you already see yourself as a 95-year-old togging out in a Donegal jersey, do you see a difference even in the physicality and the physique that you have to keep now compared to when you first started off playing football?
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, every top team, not even the top teams in the country, but, you know, every county team now has a strength and conditioning program in place. If you want to be competing, you know, at the inter-county level, like, you really have to be, you know, doing your gym programs, you know, being in tune with your nutrition and, you know, really having that all together in order to be able to perform at the top level. Like, I definitely think there's a huge amount of physicality in the game. I don't think the games are any more physical now than they were maybe whenever I started playing for Donegal, but I do think the players are stronger. I think, you know, whenever, you know, you're trying to stop a player that's running through, you can feel that they, you know, that they are strong, that they are well-tuned. And, you know, they're athletes now. Like, we know ladies football players, we are athletes. You have to be an athlete, you know, in order to perform. And like, I do like the physicality of the game, of course. Like, I think one of the problems that I find is the consistency in the reffing from games to games. Like, if you were very sure of the level of physicality that you could bring to every game, I think there'd be much less freeze, because you would understand, you know, how much you could get away with. You know, I'm coming from the other end of the pitch, you know, as a defender. You know, Carla and Ashley in there, you know, are forwards as well. So, you know, I'm obviously feeling that, you know, sometimes, you know, the refs let the freeze go too easy. But, you know, obviously that's always
I think that's a very good point there now, because the forwards have said one thing and the backs have said another thing. So really, how is a poor referee ever supposed to win?
Yeah, well, that's really it, of course.
I agree with Emer there, to be honest. I think it's, I'm not here defending forwards. I think it's all over the pitch. And I suppose there is a lot of inconsistency in ladies football, if we're going to call a spade. And I suppose we probably saw an awful lot of that. And even playing the games, you notice that, as Emer says, as a back, like, if you're going to go out and you can get away with things, Like, do you know, in terms of physicality, I'm talking about non-cynical. Mm-hmm. I suppose we all want physicality and shoulders and all that. And I suppose the inconsistency and maybe be able to touch off someone and then not being able to touch them, it's very between 0 and 100 in terms of many different referees. So I think a bit more consistency in that needs to come into the game to evolve with that bit further as well. So I actually have to really agree with Emer on that point that she's after making there.
And I think Emer as well, the fact that you were able to say that, yes, absolutely, the standard of fitness and physicality and what you can bring to a team has definitely evolved and gotten much higher since you first began playing football. It's no wonder then really when it feels like half our footballers are all heading off to Australia playing football, there's a demand there because we're producing athletes to such a high standard now.
Yeah, of course. And I think it's probably something that, you know, should have been happening for a long time. Like, I would never, you know, look down on a player or think differently of a player that wanted to go to Australia to play football. I think it's a fantastic opportunity. You know, basically, as an intercounty player now in Ireland, it almost is like a full-time job. You know, you dedicate your life to it. You miss, you know, friends' weddings. You miss, you know, occasions that maybe other friends are going to that you can't, you know, for years and years. You give up on your social life, you know, in order to be a county player. And, you know, it's a sacrifice that every county player is really willing to take. So I think the opportunity of going to Australia to play as a professional athlete, you know, to get paid, to play, to train, and, you know, to really enjoy you know, your training and not have to worry about work. I think it's a fantastic opportunity as well. You know, I don't think that I would personally like the GAA or the LGFA to ever go professional here. I think we'd lose that sort of, you know, love for your county or, you know, that love for your, playing for your jersey. But I would never bereft anyone for heading off to Oz in order to get that experience, you know, to play in the nice weather and, you know, to get proper, you know, elite training from professionals. And, you know, coming back and giving, you know, that advice to our teams here. Like, we've been very lucky that we've had a few girls that have been away. We've had Katie Heron and, you know, Yvonne Bonner as well. And, you know, they really, really enjoyed their experiences of being away. And I think that they, you know, brought a lot of that back to our team then too. Like, they were able to give us tips of things that they learned out there and, you know, giving us a wee bit of an insight into what, you know, playing as a professional was actually like for that period. So I think it was a fantastic opportunity for the girls that got it. You know, on the other side, for the girls that are left at home when, you know, huge numbers, you know, do leave your team to head off and play in Australia, like, I do find that difficult. And I do feel very sorry for managers in that position because, you know, you're always working with the players that are in front of you during that period of time. And, you know, especially whenever players go away for the league and, you know, we're coming back for a championship, it is a very, very challenging position for managers to sort of keep the group together and, you know, to make the group feel they're every bit as important as the girls that are away. And it's a, you know, it's a losing battle all the time for managers to try and keep everyone happy. And, like, I do think that is maybe one of the issues, you know, facing intercounty managers and intercounty teams, you know, with the elite players heading off to Oz to play.
And that's just the manager's emer. Yeah. Like, when I saw on Twitter over the weekend, I saw families bereft, like poor Johnny McGee was saying goodbye to Lauren as she was heading off. Carla, are you feeling even this year more than in any other year? Yeah, they have to go through the torture of 2 weeks quarantine, but then they're going to be very much left alone to enjoy life in a nice, hopefully COVID-free zone.
Yeah, it's funny. I was only actually talking about this today, that Australia seems to have dealt with the whole COVID situation very well. And I think they're basically living a free life over there. And I've got a lot of friends over in Australia that you'd be following. And, you know, they were spending Christmas at parties and in pubs and all the things we'd have loved to been doing. So I think in that way, it is great that the girls can go over, they can experience that professionalism. And you wouldn't blame anyone for going over to Australia now, just, you know, if that was the right time in their life to, oh, I was going to go traveling, I'm going to pick up and go now, you may as well. It's probably the best time to head over, even though, as you said, you do have to quarantine. I think you'd take the 2 weeks to be given your 6 months or however long we're going to be left in this situation of freedom.
Do you have any regrets now, Aisling, that you didn't take up the opportunity when it presented itself last year? Or would you be able to cope for 2 weeks alone in a room by yourself quarantining?
Yeah, just to be asked alone, I suppose, a massive honour and privilege, you know, for anyone to be asked over there. As the girls were saying, it's an unbelievable thing to do. For me, it probably just isn't right timing for me at the minute. I'm still in college and final year. I suppose I've finished that first. And, you know, I suppose that is my career at the end of the day. which is probably when football and everything's all over, that's the thing I'm going to turn to. So I think for me, just finishing that and maybe seeing where the world takes me after that, I'm really unsure as to what's going to happen, to be honest. For me personally, I find it hard to leave football. I know people tell you, go away and spread the wings, but I suppose there's a lot of things as well. We've a family business here at home and mum and dad need help with that. So I wouldn't regret, I suppose. It's just nice to have the opportunity there, and hopefully maybe in the next few years it's something that I might turn my hand and try to give it a go, see what I can do. I don't think I'll be much good at it though. I can only imagine running around after rugby ball, the big long legs hanging everywhere trying to catch a ball.
I highly doubt it's a
challenge.
I'd say now, if you managed to pick up a hurl down a shitter and play camogie out of the blue after not playing it properly, I think the rugby ball would be the least of your worries, Ash.
I think I remember Sarah brought it home. We were playing with it in Dublin one day, and sure, my patience just went. I just couldn't. We were trying to learn how to kick the ball and hand pass the ball. And it's very technical and skillful game. Looking at it, you just think it's catch and kick, but it actually is it is very skillful in terms of kicking and hand passing, but...
Yeah, I was looking at Breed Stack stories, and I was saying earlier, I had watched her doing her quarantine and stuff, and it looked quite tough, obviously, because she had a baby in the room with her as well, and her husband, and they were in there for 2 weeks, and that was it. But then they were set free into the environment, and you can see her now practicing her training, and she would have been, as a top level athlete, footballer of the year a few years ago, and even she's exhausted by it. It's a different level, and probably because the mental thing as well. She's trying to learn the new skills as well.
Yeah, and I suppose it's massive, the skills, moving away from home, your friends not being there, it's very much so, there's a lot of thinking time, and I suppose you find out an awful lot about yourself, even for the girls being in the room for 2 weeks, you're going to find an awful lot out about yourself, but it's mad, even for someone like Breed Stack of her age, and I suppose of her calibre as well, the Exham footballer she was, it's brilliant to see her going over there and, expanding. For role models here, for younger girls, I suppose, expanding their thoughts, and it might be an ambition for them they could do. I seen someone, someone said recently, one of the ex-players, I'm not sure, so I'm not going to say, but I remember her saying, geez, why didn't I do that? But it's brilliant. It's brilliant to see Irish girls over there, I suppose. It's great for ladies footballers here in general as well. And yeah. I just enjoy seeing people doing well, to be honest. I suppose, we spent an awful lot of time here running around in muck for 6 months, and sure, having summer football for 3 months. And sure, if you can be over there going brunching every day and going training, sure, what more do you want? So it's brilliant to see the girls doing so well over there, and you could... only wish him nothing but luck and happiness over there, really.
And I think that's the overarching theme, really, of this discussion, really, is that you're three women at the top of your game, and the LGFA, they're a really growing organisation. I know they hit a massive speed bump there just before Christmas on a public relations disaster. There's no point calling it anything else. But I don't think, Carla, that should discount all the great work that has been done by the organisation. They're not perfect, but show me something that is. But what you guys have are wonderful kind of footballing careers that someday, because you're not finished yet, you will look back on and smile. But as well as that, you're promoting a really kind of a career path for women if they want to play sport, be it amateur or going off professional level now, Carla. It's there, the path is there, and because you're moulding it, and that's because ladies football gave you that opportunity.
Yeah, and I always say this, and even with that controversy that came along, yes, it was disappointing, and it was hard for those teams and players involved, but sometimes these things have to happen in order for organisations to grow, and that's not just the LGFA, but I think what they've done, they have to be so highly commended. I would always give them great praise in the work that they're doing. From when I started in ladies football, how it's grown so much the last 6-7 years, it's outstanding. Young girls, they've got role models. The public kind of way we're being put out there, the platform we're being given, and the role models for these young girls going forward, it's fantastic. So it definitely is a positive. You're going to hit some speed bumps, but overall, I think they're doing great work. And Australia is just one of those examples. It's another pathway that's been opened for girls, whether that be they go over and they experience it and come home, or you never know, it could open up a lifelong pathway for them where they stay over there and they play professional for the whole of their life and they settle down in Australia. So all of these different things that are being opened, they're all options. And that's, I suppose, what they're trying to do. You're trying to give as many players opportunities from our sport.
Well, that's it. Carla, Ashing and Emer, when you think about it, when we were little girls growing up, the thought of one discussing ladies football on national radio on primetime Sunday was out of the wall crazy, never mind talking about Irish women heading off, making a living out of playing football. And if that's not involvement and growth in sport, I don't know what it is. Thank you very much for your time. And just a reminder, the LGFA Hour is brought to you in association with Lidl, and they've been proudly supporting ladies Gaelic football with over €4 million invested since 2016. They've been a big part of this Nollag na Mban programme. Thank you very much, ladies. The very best of luck. Carla, you're the hunted. There is a 200s coming after. We really look forward and hope that we do have a league and a championship to look forward to during 2021. Gurmila Magui, stay with us, everyone at home. We just have to take a short break. We'll be back to you after this.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.